All right, so have you ever, I don't know, moved to a new city, especially one that's, way up in the mountains or something? You start breathing harder, your body's adjusting. It's like your whole system is trying to adapt, right? Well, it turns out something similar happens to creatures living in our oceans and waterways, but on a genetic level.
And that's what we're diving into today with this paper you sent us, a review of environmental epigenetics in aquatic invertebrates.
It's all about epigenetics.
Epigenetics, right. So we're talking about how environmental stressors can actually, switch certain genes on or off.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens in creatures like oysters, corals, even those tiny water fleas you might remember from back in biology class.
Okay, so not changing their DNA entirely, but changing how that DNA is being used. Think of it like this. Your DNA, that's the hardware, the blueprint, that's fixed. But epigenetics, that's the software, and it can actually decide which parts of that blueprint are being read and acted upon at any given time. It's a really hot topic right now, especially in a world that's changing as rapidly as ours.
So it's like these creatures are making adjustments in real time instead of evolving over like thousands of
In
years.
a way, yeah, that's a good way to put it. The authors of this paper, Kim and Lee, they define epigenetics as heritable changes in gene regulation that do not change DNA nucleotide sequences, which basically means it's like flipping switches on a circuit board to turn different genes on or off
Yeah.
in response to environmental cues.
And that's where these three major epigenetic mechanisms come in, right? DNA methylation, histone modification, and cRNA. We'll get into all of that, I promise. But it's pretty wild to think about how these tiny switches can have such a huge impact. Okay, so we've got these epigenetic mechanisms, this genetic software making changes on the fly. But what about the stuff that's actually triggering these changes in the first place?
Well, the authors of this paper point to a whole bunch of stressors that are impacting aquatic life, things like rising water temperatures, ocean acidification is a big one, even things like pollution and radiation.
It's like a never-ending obstacle course for these creatures, but I'm guessing, and I think this paper kind of backs this up, is that they're finding ways to cope.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where it gets really interesting. The paper highlights how different stressors can actually trigger very specific epigenetic responses. And sometimes, get this, sometimes those responses are actually beneficial.
Beneficial, like how so?
So there's this coral species, Stylophora pistillata, and it can actually modify its skeleton structure to survive in water that's becoming increasingly acidic.
Whoa, hold on. They're literally changing their skeletons. How is that even possible?
Well, you know how if you start lifting weights, your body's going to adapt by building more muscle? It's kind of like that for this coral. As the water gets more acidic, it triggers these epigenetic changes that switch on the genes responsible for building a stronger, more resistant skeleton.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like their environment is pushing them to evolve, but in real time. Are there any other examples like that in the paper?
Oh, yeah, tons. They talk about this one study on brine shrimp where just a single epigenetic event allowed them to develop resistance to both heat stress and a bacterial infection at the same time.
It's like hitting the genetic jackpot with just one change. That is wild. But, and I hate to bring the mood down here, but it does make you wonder, if these adaptations are happening so rapidly, like within a single generation, what happens to their offspring? Do they inherit any of these epigenetic changes? So we're talking about these creatures making these almost real-time adjustments to their environment, but do their kids inherit those same adaptations? Is it automatic?
That's the big question, right? And this paper actually gets into some of the answers. So yeah, it turns out these epigenetic changes, they can be passed down. But it's not quite as simple as just, inheriting your parents' adaptations.
Okay, yeah, you're gonna have to break that down for me a little.
Of course, of course. So there are a few different things that can happen. Sometimes those changes are what we call intergenerational, meaning they directly impact the offspring. So like if a mother coral experiences ocean acidification, her offspring might inherit those same epigenetic changes that helped her survive.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then there's also multi-generational inheritance where the effects can go even further, like beyond just the immediate children.
So we're talking about grandkids, maybe even great-grandkids, inheriting these epigenetic tweaks.
Exactly.
Wow, so it's not just a one-generation thing. Huh. That's pretty mind-blowing. And kind of worrying too, right? Especially with all the environmental pressures we're putting on these creatures.
Yeah, and that's really what makes this research so important. We have to start thinking beyond those immediate impacts. We have to start looking at the long-term consequences of, frankly, what we're doing to the planet. There's this one study in the paper. It focuses on water fleas, those tiny crustaceans. and it found that when they're exposed to high salt levels in the water, it causes DNA methylation changes. Remember, that's like flipping that switch on a gene. Well, those changes, they were passed down for three generations.
Three generations. So even when things went back to normal, those descendants were still carrying the burden of what their ancestors had been through.
Wow. That's kind of a lot to process. But it's not all doom and gloom, right? I mean, we're learning so much about how life adapts. There's got to be some way we can use this knowledge for good.
Oh, absolutely. And the authors of this paper, they're actually very optimistic about the potential here. Imagine, like, using this knowledge of epigenetics to develop better conservation strategies or to help reintroduce species into damaged habitats. We could even use it to improve aquaculture practices, making them more sustainable.
So by understanding how these creatures are adapting, we could actually lend them a hand.
Exactly.
That's incredible. You know, it's amazing to me how we've gone from thinking of DNA as this, like, fixed blueprint to realizing that organisms have this incredible ability to adjust and adapt. It really makes you appreciate the power of life, doesn't it?
It really does.
Well, this deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. What about you? Feeling any of those aha moments yourself? We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can share them with us on social media or just drop us a line. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and never underestimate what we can learn from even the smallest creatures about life, adaptation, and the future of our planet.